the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 17. This is an event, the triumphal entry. It's that's the name or the title that we've given to this event of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And we have understanding that it was about a week later that he would be crucified. This is a significant event. Every gospel writer talks about the triumphal entry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about this event and all give us varying details concerning Jesus mounting this donkey, riding it into Jerusalem. And for those who are spiritually tuned in, there is a great meaning in this event. Great meaning. So let's look at it. We'll read verses 1 through 17. We have 3 points. We have some fulfillments of prophecy in this account of the triumphal entry. We have the passage from Zechariah 9. We have another prophecy that is fulfilled from Isaiah 56:7, Jeremiah 7:11. And then we have another one fulfilled down in the part where he is in the temple. So we've got quite a bit before us. 3 points. We'll read the text. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, You have prepared praise for yourself. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. The word of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the sacred scripture. We thank you for this account of Jesus on a donkey riding into Jerusalem. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the meaning of this, and that you would strengthen us, and that you would broaden our understanding of the mission of Jesus to earth. And God, that you would receive all the glory. All the glory be unto you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the title of this message is King Jesus Rides a Donkey. And then sermon in a sentence. If you want one sentence and you want to encapsulate the sermon in one sentence, I would say it this way. King Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey in order to establish a victorious spiritual kingdom. And you and I well know that he did establish that kingdom. Every act, everything he put himself toward in fulfilling the will of his Father in heaven went into the narrative of the establishment of this spiritual kingdom. So let's look at this. We're going to look at what happens right before it, and then the event itself, and then the event after. So the Bible says they approached Jerusalem. They came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples. He tells them to go into the village, and he says, immediately you're going to find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them, bring them to me. Now, Mark's gospel tells us a couple things that Matthew doesn't tell us. Mark tells us that this donkey had never been ridden. And Mark tells us how this played out. Now remember, Jesus said to them, he said, if anyone, right there it is, verse 3, if anyone says anything to you about this, so the disciples, you can just see them, they're going into this village, they're looking for a donkey, and they're going to find a donkey, and they're just supposed to untie the donkey and bring the donkey to Jesus. But Jesus tells them, if anyone says anything to you, this is what you're going to say. It's like, this is the password. This will make everything okay. What are they supposed to say? Well, they're supposed to say, the Lord has need of them. And then Jesus says, and immediately he will send them. And so that's how it played out. Mark tells us that. He says, when the disciples went to get the donkey, there were some people standing there and they said, hey, where are you going with my donkey? And they said, the Lord has need of them. And they said, okay, see you later. So Jesus told them for a reason, and it played out just like that. I love that story. I wonder if you or I could try that. No, don't even think for a minute to try that one. But it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And then Mark kind of fills in the details there for us. And then Matthew is good to tell us that this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. So he quotes Isaiah 62:11 and Zechariah 9:9. So hundreds of years before this, it was written, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle, mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So all that's interesting. What led up to this? Now, this is taking place during the feast of Passover. So lots of people are coming into the town of Jerusalem. Thousands. I don't know that we fully appreciate the numbers that were in Jerusalem at this time. So people that had never been to the big city, they'd be going to the big city. People that lived in Galilee, they'd be coming to Jerusalem. And then you have people in Jerusalem, they're all over the place. There's a festive, we forget this, there was a festive attitude going on. I try to figure out, how do we equate that? Maybe Christmas time, everybody's in the quote-unquote Christmas spirit. They were in the Passover spirit. They were happy. It was a festive time of year. Everybody is just loving this. The families are getting together. This is wonderful. And then on top of all that, there's this guy named Jesus. Now, if you had lived in Galilee, you've probably heard of him. Jesus had just done one of his greatest miracles, if not the greatest miracle, a couple days before. What was that? He stood at a grave and called a dead man named Lazarus out of the grave. That happened in Bethany. That was 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And that had gotten out. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So this is fresh on the minds of a lot of people. And the crowds, they're all over the place. And they see Jesus and he's riding this colt. So you have these multitudes. You have Jesus, you have him. He's going to ride a colt. He's going to get on a colt. He's going to ride it into Jerusalem. And you have these crowds. And there's every type of person from every walk of life in those crowds. You have the religious authorities. I call it the religious deep state of the day, because they were not going to have anything to do with Jesus. Nothing. They didn't like Jesus. They were scrutinizing his every move. We even have it down there. The chief priests were there, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They're all there. They're all in the crowds. There were zealots in the crowd. Who were zealots? They were wanting to undermine the Roman stronghold over Jerusalem. The zealots didn't like the Roman government. They were wanting to do something about it. And then you had the Herodians. Who were the Herodians? They were the party people. The Jews had a king. His name was Herod. And he was just a vicious, bloodthirsty king. He's the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. That was the king of the so-called king of the Jews. And you had these Herodians. They were just party people. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you may be dead and you just got to live it up while you're here on earth. They really have no standards, no parameters. They have no real moral code. So you have the Essenes. Who were they? They were people, they didn't even want to be in a crowd. They wanted to be out in the country. They were the world's going to hell in a handbasket, so we're going to retreat. We're going to be out here in the desert. We're just going to make our living out there, and we're going to stay away from the rest of society. That was the Essenes. You have all these people. You have disciples. You have people that believed in Jesus. But even those who believed in Jesus at this time, even those closest to him, don't have full understanding concerning what he is about to do. So there's Jesus on a donkey and all these crowds. It's interesting the way Matthew puts it. Look at verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road. So Jesus is on a donkey and these crowds are everywhere and they're putting their coats in the road, and others cutting branches from the trees. That was a celebratory thing. It was a sign of victory. These are happy people, and they're spreading them in the roads. You got coats in the road. You got branches in the road. You got throngs of people. The crowds, there it is, Verse 9, the crowds. Matthew very seldom uses the plural for crowd, but he does two times here. Verse 9, the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed. And he says they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They're all happy. They are looking at Jesus. What is he going to do? And then when he had entered Jerusalem, the city was stirred. And what are they saying? Who is this? So some people are in the crowd. They don't even know who he is. Who is this? They've just been in Jerusalem. Most of the ministry of Jesus was outside of Jerusalem. Now he would teach. He would teach and he did some ministry there in Jerusalem, but not a lot. And the people are asking, who is this? And then the crowds, there it is again in verse 11, the second time in the same portion of scripture that Matthew uses the plural for crowds. And that's significant. Matthew was a calculator and he says crowds twice. So we're thinking just throngs of people. And they were saying, this is the prophet Jesus. So they're answering those who were saying, who is this? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. All right, so 3 points. First, we've got Christ and the colt. Christ and the colt. Christ and the donkey. Now, if you were a conquering warrior or general, what would you, if you were going to ride something, what would you ride? Well, you'd probably find a chariot or a war horse. And that's what they normally did. If they would, they'd go off to war and come back with the spoils of victory, and the warrior, the general, the leader, would either march in front of his troops or he would ride a huge horse, a war horse. Or he would ride in a chariot. Why? Because that speaks power to everyone. It speaks victory. But here you have a king, Jesus, and he's on a donkey. Now, I don't know how much experience you have with donkeys. There are two things that came to my mind looking at this. I was trying to think, how much experience have I had with donkeys? Not much. But I remember seeing a John Wayne movie one time, and John Wayne was on a donkey in one movie. Don't ask me which one, but he was on a donkey, and I can tell you right now, even the Duke did not look good on a donkey. And then, I don't know how many of you remember this. We're not going to ask for a show of hands. But how many of you remember ever going to... I can't even believe I'm saying this. Have you ever been to a donkey basketball game? Oh, it'd make you want to pull your hair out. I think I went to one in my lifetime. They are always fundraisers. But they're not fun. They're just fundraisers. And they've got donkeys on a basketball court, and you've got someone sitting on the donkey, and they're supposed to try to make baskets. And it's just terrible. I mean, just one is enough. One quarter. One. And then donkeys do what donkeys do. And it's just, it's good. I don't know. Feedback. But so donkeys are not what you would associate with a king. A true king. A donkey is not something you would associate with a true kingdom and true power. No, you would put a true king, a true conquering king would be on this beautiful stallion or on this just special chariot. That's what you would expect, but that's not what happened here. Jesus, the true king. And believe me when I say that what he was expressing here as he sat on that donkey was his true kingship. He was saying to the masses that he is the one fulfilling the prophecy and that he is indeed the true king. And the reason he was on a donkey and not on a stallion or in a chariot is because he was not here. He did not leave heaven, come to earth in order to establish a physical kingdom. He didn't come down to earth in order to conquer people and to take over countries in a physical way. He came for a spiritual purpose. And that's what we really need to hear, that everything with God, and I'm talking about your relationship with God, begins right here. It begins with, I am a spiritual being. I know I've got a physical part of me, and that jumps out, and you know, that's what we see. But more importantly than that is we are spiritual beings as well, and we have sinned, and we've been cut off from God because of our sin, and Jesus comes to earth as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And consistent with that, here he is on a donkey. He comes as a humble king. And he comes in order to establish a spiritual work. But not just a spiritual work like it's an option, like one of many options in the spiritual realm. He comes to establish a victorious spiritual kingdom. And he does this one person at a time as we come to understand our own sin, that our sin separates us from God, but that Jesus has come to earth to bring us to God through his ministry, and that we can join him. We can become part of his kingdom. We become, as it were, his subjects when we come to him in repentance and faith. And guess what? That's spiritual. That's spiritual. I mean, you can't just look at someone and say, well, they've repented and they believe, unless you see them doing something consistent with that. But if we're just standing there, we're having our picture taken, we're just there, you can't tell that. It's spiritual. It starts on the inside. But it's real. It's real. Our sins do cut us off from God, and there's judgment on those who sin and never come to Christ and reject this humble king. But there's salvation for those who humble themselves and see in Jesus, as he rides that donkey, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this one who rode a donkey into Jerusalem is going to come back one day, and he's going to be mounted on a white horse. And his hair will be white like wool, and he'll have a robe that's dipped in blood, and his eyes a flame of fire, and a sharp sword protruding from his mouth, and he'll come back and he'll judge the nations, and he'll say to those who know him, come ye that are blessed of my Father. And he'll say to those who rejected him, depart ye cursed. Those who never received Jesus. But it's a spiritual kingdom and it's real, and he's fulfilling the prophecies, and he's on his way to the culminating event, which was the cross. Death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection from the dead. So we see Christ and the colt. Point number two, we see Christ and the crowds. All kinds of people, as we said, and they have all kinds of thoughts and beliefs about this one Jesus. Much like it is today. Everybody's got an opinion about Jesus. who he is. Maybe they've heard of him. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they think he's just kind of a good man or a great teacher. He did claim to be the Son of God. A miracle worker, a prophet, as some of these said. And then I'm sure there are those who just, they're like some who lived in the city that they said, who is this? Who is this? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the ladder, if you will, between heaven and earth. Apart from which, you can't get to God and you certainly can't get to heaven. But through whom, you can be brought into the fellowship of the Lord. And you can gain heaven by faith in Christ. Who is this? Well, he stood at that tomb of Lazarus and he raised Lazarus from the dead. He called him forth from the grave. And then he said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is who he is. He's such a conquering king that he's conquered something nobody else has ever conquered. It's called death. It's called hell. It's called the grave. Our Lord Jesus is the true King. King of kings, Lord of lords. He is over all, and to be saved, you simply bow the head, humble the heart, bend the knee, confess Jesus for who he truly is, Lord and Savior. And trust your life to him. He'll forgive your sins. He'll cast them as far as the east is from the west to remember them no more. He will bring you as adopted children into his family. And there you will enjoy the security of knowing Christ the Lord. This is who he is. He's a lily of the valley. I love these lilies up here. Boy, you can smell them. It's just wonderful. It smells like you just walked into a garden or around a garden tomb. It smells of life. Jesus, the lily of the valley. Jesus, who is he? The light of the world. I mean, that ought to impress us. There's so much darkness in the world, so much deception in the world, so much human invention in the world. But Jesus is the light of the world. He speaks the truth everywhere he went. He told the truth. And what did he speak? He told us the truth concerning who we are. And he did something about it. So not only are we sinners in need of a Savior, he is our Savior. So we see Jesus in the crowds when those people, when they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, when they called him Hosanna, right there it is, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save now. Now those folks wanted an immediate salvation. They wanted Jesus to turn not toward the temple. They wanted him to turn toward the seat of governmental power. But that's not what he did. He surprised everybody that day. And again, showed us that it's a spiritual work. It's a spiritual kingdom. Nevertheless, it's very real. And something that we should think about and be drawn to even today. But to save now. So Jesus and the colt, Christ and the colt, Christ and the crowds, and then finally, Christ and the cleansing of the temple. He went to the temple. Why? Well, this is good. Jesus goes and he claims the most important sacred space. And he says, this is mine. It was the most important space. So what's he telling us? He's saying this is important. This spiritual work is important. Of all things that we prioritize in our lives, the spiritual is the most important. That's what he's telling us. He's not gonna hand over the temple to a bunch of chief priests and scribes. I love Jesus in the temple. You gotta love him in the temple. Look at verse 12. We could go on and on. And Jesus entered the temple, and what did he do? He drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. Well, why were they buying and selling? What were they buying and selling? They were buying and selling animals for sacrifice. It's a feast day. It's a feast week. It's a feast time. People coming from everywhere. They don't want to bring their livestock miles. They want to buy livestock when they get there. It's convenient that way. And then offer the sacrifice. That's what they want to do. So there were people buying and selling. They're buying animals. They're selling animals. And then you have money changers. Back then, different coins, different coinage, it didn't work. The Tyrian coin was the most stable, and that's the one that they wanted. That's the one that the sellers wanted. And so you had exchanges going on with money. And there they are. And the first thing Jesus did, he drove out all who were buying and selling in the temple. This is to be a place of spiritual activity. This is where God works with people. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And then he had something to say to them. And he quotes scripture. He says, it is written. No doubt about the fact that Jesus believed in the scriptures. If the scriptures were good enough for Jesus, they'll be good enough for us. He says this, my house, he's referring to the temple, shall be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a robber's den. He put a stop to it. You know, it's amazing. You know, profit motive is a big deal. But he did this. I mean, think about it. This has been going on for years. Jesus, the first thing he does, he dismounts, evidently, the colt, the donkey, and he drives them out. And nobody says boo. I mean, we don't read about an argument. We don't read about anything. So any thought that Jesus is just some kind of weak need, you just perish the thought. I want to tell you right now, Jesus was, is, and forever will be a man's man. And more. He drove them out. And then good stuff started to happen. You see, the priority of the spiritual life, the spiritual walk with Jesus. Because when he drove them out and he quoted this scripture, the Bible tells us, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. That's our Lord Jesus. He brings light to the eyes of the blind and heals them. And he brings strength to the lame, those who can't walk, those who can't move. He strengthens them. And then what happened? But when the chief priests, and by the way, the chief priests were part of the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the religious liberals of the day. They didn't believe in healing. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in any of this. The chief priests were part of that group. The scribes were the more conservative. They saw the wonderful things that he had done. And the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, we would like to read, they joined the crowd. and started shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But they did not. The Bible says, right there it is, in black and white, they became indignant. They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want to recognize that He has come for their spiritual blessing and benefit. They wanted none of that. They wanted things the way they wanted them. They wanted their old, tired, worn out religion. And they became indignant and they said to Him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read," and He quotes Psalm 8, "out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself." And He left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Jesus Christ on the colt. Jesus Christ and the crowds. Jesus Christ and the cleansing of the temple. All of these speak to us of the spiritual work that Jesus came to do. I'm asking you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never put your faith and trust in Him, would you trust Him to do a spiritual work in your life? Would you trust Christ, this Jesus, as your Lord and Savior? Would you trust Him this morning? And then those of us who know Him, would you recognize once again the spiritual work? Would you prioritize the spiritual work that He came to do in your own life, knowing that He's continuing that work? He's growing us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. I thank You for the wonderful account here in Matthew's gospel of Jesus on this donkey, and of this spiritual work that He came to accomplish. And I pray that that work in our own day and time would accelerate and deepen in the lives of those who know You. And then if there's someone here today, anyone, who has never trusted Christ for the forgiveness of sin, I pray today would be the day that they would repent and believe, that they would see the light and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen and amen.